And so now, this great perfection, the Maha Mudra, great wisdom emptiness, how do we practice this? In front of us, we visualize Guru Rinpoche, don't we? On top of a thousand petal lotus, or you visualize your Bhatra Guru. This process of visualizing the Guru or Padmasambhava is what we call Maha Mudra, the practice of great perfection. We might say that the Maha Mudra is the Kaju or the Kadampa lineage, and the Nyingma is the great perfection lineage. And how do you do this in front of you? You visualize the deity, the Guru Rinpoche, your Vajra Guru. And this is called the Maha Mudra. And then afterwards, the Guru, or the deity, is then absorbed into your mind stream. And this is what we call the great perfection. So when we're practicing great perfection, we are including the Maha Mudra in the practice as well. So it's not the case that if you're practicing great perfection, then you have to practice Maha Mudra or vice versa. They're being practiced together. For instance, we may say, oh, Maha Mudra is so auspicious. We may say, oh, Maha Mudra is so auspicious when we are visualizing Guru Rinpoche, Vajrapani, Vajrakalaya, Manjushri, Avalokitesvara. Then this part is Maha Mudra, and then when this then dissolves and enters into our mind stream, then this is what we call great perfection. When we say that the deity, our Vajra Guru, enters into our mind stream and we abide in the state of mind that is inseparable from the Guru in the state of clarity, this is the practice that we are calling the great perfection. And the process in which we are visualizing the Vajra Guru in front of us, and the Guru transforms into boundless light, and also when we receive the four empowerments, this is all part of Maha Mudra. And when we're doing these practices, the merit is completely different. For instance, the process when we are visualizing four-armed Chenrezig Zig in front of us, and we're visualizing very clearly, this is what we are calling Maha Mudra practice. And then eventually Chenrezig dissolves into boundless light and then enters into our mind stream. And then in this state we are abiding in a state of mind that is inseparable from that of Chenrezig. This is called the great perfection. Do you all understand? Don't separate Maha Mudra and great perfection. In essence, they are the same. If somebody says, I'm practicing Maha Mudra and I'm not practicing great perfection, or if they say, I'm practicing great perfection, then I'll practice Maha Mudra, any of these ways of thinking are a mistake. When we are practicing Maha Mudra, we are visualizing maybe our Vajra Guru in front of us, and then our mind and the appearance appear to be separate. Upon a thousand petal lotus, we have our Guru is seated. And above the head of my root Guru is His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, and above the head of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche is His Holiness Trungpa Arik Rinpoche. And above Trungpa Arik Rinpoche is Samantabhadra. And then in the dissolution, Samantabhadra dissolves into boundless light and is absorbed into Trungpa Arik Rinpoche. Trungpa Arik Rinpoche is absorbed into His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. And His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche then is absorbed into our root Guru. And then from our root Guru, we have Om Ah Hung from the eye center, throat center, and heart center. And we receive the four empowerments. First, we receive the white light, the Om, into our eye center, and this goes into throughout our whole body, so our whole body becomes a white light. And as that happens, all negative karma of body is completely purified, and one's body is just a bright white light. And we receive the youthful Vaas body empowerment, and then from root Guru's throat center, a red R, and this emits out a bright ruby red light into our throat center as a ruby red R, and then our whole body becomes a red light. then all our karmic obscurations and all our afflictions as a result of negative speech are completely purified. Then our whole body is a red light, and then we receive the secret empowerment. And then from Guru's heart center, a blue hung. And from the blue hung, it emits a blue light into our heart center, and our whole body becomes a blue light, and it purifies all our negative karma of our mind. And the color of the blue is just like the color of a blue hatha, and we receive the wisdom empowerment. And then an insert from the translator, then from the Guru's eye center as a white shines white light into our eye center as a white Simultaneously, from the Guru's throat center, a red into our throat center as a red and also from the Guru's heart center as a blue hong into our heart center as a blue hong. And while we visualize receiving this, it completely purifies all our karmic and conceptual obscurations. And we receive what is called the word empowerment. End of interpreter's insert. And this is what we are calling Mahamudra. And then the Vajraguru transforms into boundless light, into a blue dot about the size of a fingernail. And this then descends down a central channel from the crown of our center down to our heart center. And when it reaches our heart center, it becomes one with our mind. And the mind of the Guru and our mind becomes inseparable. And then we abide in the state of clarity and equanimity, and this is what we call the great perfection. When the mind of the Guru becomes one with our mind, then we rest in Rigpa. And when we are abiding in Rigpa, we are unmoved by the five senses. And what does this mean? When we are abiding in Rigpa, our five senses are pure. We can hear what is going around us. We can see what is in front of us. However, our mind is pure. However, we don't have any discrimination. Oh, this sound or the sight is really good or is not very good, is bad. When we are abiding in Rigpa, then already our five senses are pure. And so this is what we call our mind unmoved by the five senses. Now let's all abide in this state of mind. Good. Stay in the state of mind. And now, when in this state, it's not void. We can still see the Guru. We can still hear the sounds with our ears. However, my mind is unmoving. I'm abiding in Rigpa. Abide in Rigpa like this. This is great perfection. And while I'm doing this, if some discursive thoughts or afflictions arise, what do? If our practice is good, then while we're abiding in Rigpa, as this discursive thought arises, simultaneously it will subside. And it really won't influence you because its arising and subsiding are simultaneous. And in the process, it doesn't leave any footprint or trace in your alaya. It just arises and subsides. It arises and it subsides. If, however, we don't have the state of realization yet, then what do? We use our awareness to just observe the arising thought. And as soon as you place your awareness on the arising thought, it subsides. In the previous instance, when our realization is very good and we're abiding in Rigpa, then as the thought arises, we don't have to do anything purposefully. It just naturally, simultaneously subsides. If, however, our state of practice is the second example, where it doesn't, the thought doesn't simultaneously liberate, then what we can do is, instead of getting involved in the thought, use our awareness while we're abiding in Rigpa to liberate the thought. Just use your awareness to look at the thought, and immediately it liberates. It subsides. And in the state of mind, after the thought has subsided, continue to meditate in the state of mind. These are pith instructions. And this we practice while in a state of meditative concentration. I can practice this while I'm abiding in the true nature of mind. While abiding in the true nature of mind, a random thought arises, I recognize it, and simultaneously it subsides. Naturally arises, naturally subsides, and this I know. However, this wisdom that knows is our true nature of mind. It is not discriminatory thought. Do you understand the difference? For instance, we are abiding in the true nature of mind, and a discursive thought arises, and then it subsides, and this whole process we're aware of, we know. And this knowing is awareness, it is not discrimination. It doesn't discriminate between subject and object. It has no karmic or conceptual obscuration. However, it's still very aware the thought arises and subsides. However, the state of mind stays the same. And this awareness that sees the thought arising and subsiding, this is the wisdom of true nature of mind. The awareness of true nature of mind. If, however, we're not abiding in the true nature of mind and the discursive thought arises, we might get involved with the thought and follow the thought. When we don't have any meditative concentration, we might be aware that a discursive thought has arisen. We see it liberate, it disappears, however, it comes again, and then it comes again, and it comes again. With respect to this, we can teach further, more profoundly. However, we won't teach today. We wait until everybody has progressed with their pith instructions, and then we can continue to teach some more. And now we've spoken about the relationship between Mahamudra and Great Perfection. And also knowing these pith instructions, and by knowing this, we have greater merit and a lot more cherishing. And this is very important practice. This is all very important. Pay attention to it. Pray to your Vajra Guru. Practice compassion more and more. Because previously we harmed many sentient beings, and this is just an expression showing that we didn't have compassion at the time. And this really is the best form of repentance. Of course, we can recite Vajrasattva, do repentance. However, the best method is to increase our compassion. Why? Because previously we hurt sentient beings because we didn't have compassion. To improve our compassion is the best method of repentance. You must remember this pith instruction. Within your daily life, support this compassion, bodhicitta, rigpa, and do it as best as you can. And what is the best way to recognize our true nature of mind is to pray to our Vajra Guru. The belief in our Vajra Guru is very, very important. Right now, our belief in the Guru may be a state of cherishing and of joy. Oh, and I met the Guru, and I really cherished the opportunity, and I got blessings from the Guru, and now I can practice more purely, more diligently. It's helped to remove many obstacles and difficulties, and I can attain temporary liberation through seeing. And this is a very joyful form of belief. And through this, gradually we increase our belief that our Guru's compassion and bodhicitta and truth may be absorbed into our mind stream. And what is the very special method to be able to do this? is the four empowerments. Let the Guru's mind be absorbed into our mind. And when the Guru is one with our mind, then the Dhammakaya, Sambhagakaya, and the Manakaya are also one with our mind. And then in this case, there is no place for doubt. And finally, abide in Rigpa, the true nature of mind. We all know that by abiding in Rigpa, this is the way for us to transcend birth and death and completely transcend samsara and thoroughly attain liberation. It is only through Rigpa, recognizing our true nature of mind, that we can thoroughly transcend conceptual and karmic obscurations and attain Buddhahood in one lifetime. To do this, it's necessary to have unmoving belief in the Guru and the Three Jewels, all the deities and the Dharma protectors. In the beginning, if you don't have this belief, it's okay. However, through our practice, it can really increase, improve, until really our faith and belief is inexpressible. This belief doesn't depend on others. They don't have it, so I don't have it. This belief comes through our practice, through following the very auspicious pith instructions of our Guru, from recognizing our true nature of mind. And eventually, your gratitude will be inexpressible with words. This cherishing mind then becomes a pure mind, and gradually we recognize our true nature of mind. Our current belief then becomes realization. And this is the process of our practice. And when we are abiding in our true nature of mind, in that present moment, all our karmic and conceptual obscurations are right there and then purified. And so too, all our problems of our past lives and this life are in that moment liberated. However, this is only moment liberation. We must then also continue to support the state of mind, going to retreat, continue requesting pith instructions, receive empowerments, and then, no matter what is happening, we are unmoved from our Rigpa, our true nature of mind. And in this case, you have thoroughly attained enlightenment. The true nature of mind, enlightenment, is so close to us. Our true nature of mind is with us all the time, just we don't recognize it. And really, if you just pray to the Guru, practice bodhicitta, abide in the true nature of mind, completely different. And so the bodhicitta of Mahayana and that of great perfection is different. We are practicing to bring all sentient beings to enlightenment. This is the same. However, within the great perfection, the moment that I am abiding in the true nature of mind, in that very moment, all sentient beings in that moment are liberated and attain enlightenment in this very life. This is the bodhicitta of the great perfection. And this merit I dedicate to all sentient beings, that they may all attain enlightenment in this very life, in one life, and dedicate in this way. And then practice the great perfection in this way. And if we do, then all the merits of the Tantrayana are also included in this practice. Go home and practice well, and don't forget these pith instructions from your Guru. And your best offering to your Guru is your practice. The purpose of the Guru is that you attain liberation and enlightenment. If, however, you just listen to the Dharma, you study, but you don't attain liberation or enlightenment, then it is of no great meaning of the existence of having the Guru and following the Guru. Really, it's not of a lot of meaning. Our time is very limited. We only have a few decades, not a few centuries. In a few moments, it will have passed. So really, cherish this human life of yours. Practice well. These opportunities to transcend samsara are really not a lot. Everybody, really practice well. I rejoice in everybody's merits. May everybody attain enlightenment in one lifetime. Sous-titrage Société Radio-Canada
圆满地多功德，一缘素的金刚车，生生世世不离时，恒时相应生法。圆满地多功德，一缘素的金刚车，生生世世不离时，恒时相应生法。圆满地多功德，一缘素的金刚车。